Hello and welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State football podcast. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. Time to talk some Oklahoma State football for the regular season finale, which means in terms of regularly scheduled appearances at Stone Cloud, this is our finale
this,
as well.
This is, yes. I'm sad.
Me too.
This is like a somber podcast. I'm sorry.
It's a little rough. It doesn't feel like that long ago when we were sitting at the back table over there with Matt chatting about how we were going to make this whole thing work.
Yeah.
And now the season's over.
And we've made it work somehow, except for last week. We didn't really make it work too well last week.
We did not make it work well last week. We apologize to our regular YouTube viewers. If you're a regular audio listener, you got to hear it. But the video audio situation did not mesh up correctly. Our apologies for you not getting to check out. If you did miss it last week, we're really sorry because it was the best one of the year.
It was.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt.
We looked fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
We finally
incredible.
Had faces not made just for print
yes,
and radio. Exactly. We were finally able to do this on YouTube and feel respectable about ourselves.
Yes. Yeah, we will be back here at least once, maybe twice, if we can work it out during bowl season, depending on how the schedule falls. It's always a little bit tricky because you get into basketball really heavy. I start doing a little bit of women's basketball, a little bit of wrestling.
Yeah.
Things don't always align, but we'll try to make it happen so we can come back here, record a couple more podcasts at this fantastic place, drink some more of their fantastic beer. And on that note, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking.
You got a really big glass.
I did get a really big glass.
I'm jealous.
It's impressive, isn't it?
It is.
Alyssa really hooked me up. It's a Dead Saison.
Ooh.
It's come out. It came out of a can. They don't have it on tap right now, but it's got some really good flavors. I'm a big fan of Saisons.
Okay.
And if I find a good Saison, I really stick to it. This is one of them. The thing about a Saison, though, is you got to find one that's not just sour. Because a lot of times Saisons get sour, and I don't always want that. And this has got a good balance of that. And so I'm really a big fan of it. It's called Dead Saison.
I'm trying to determine whether you're a really big fan of Saisons or just a big fan of saying Saison.
Ooh, I'm a big fan of Saisons. It's always been my go-to.
All right.
If I go to a brewery and there's a Saison, I'm generally trying it.
All right.
Either as a taster or a full pour, I'm going for it. I'll read the description and decide if it's going to be sour or not and kind of go. But like we found, on a side note, I found we were in California. We were in Monterey and all that in California this summer, I found a brewery that was known just for Saisons.
Ooh.
And it was like heaven for me. It's like, I want this Saison, I want this Saison, I want this Saison. I loved it so much.
And you mentioned it came out of the can behind the bar. I always forget.
Yes.
So for the viewers who might come try this place out here on 917 South Husband in Stillwater, they don't just have the stuff on tap. They've also got the fridges that you can see what they've got in cans back there. I always forget about that. Lots of options here.
Yes.
It was tough for me to choose today. I went back to one that I've actually had on the show before.
Okay.
And for the record, this is my beer.
It's your beer? No. Obviously, no predictions again?
We had
that's
one.
True.
We didn't have YouTube, so people
that's
couldn't
true.
Leave their comments.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Ryan the Great on Twitter came and offered a prediction, but he picked Oklahoma State, so I can drink my own beer. So those of you watching on YouTube, or if you're on Twitter.
Hopefully you're on YouTube this week.
Yeah, exactly. Go into the comments. Leave your score prediction, have a chance to win a free beer that we will drink for you next week. And maybe you can have Astro Dog, which is what I'm trying tonight. Not trying, I've had this before.
Astro Dog's a good one.
Big fan of it. The one thing that's got me a little bit nervous, we're dealing with 7% situation here.
Ooh.
I've eaten very little today.
Uh-oh.
So that's a little bit of a teaser for the folks that are watching on YouTube. You might want to stick around to the end to just see how I handle the next 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah, there we go. This is exactly why I don't get their stouts here, because the stouts I want to try are all 13 or 14%, and I'm like, if I drink one of those in just one of these podcasts, it might be some bad news, or good news for the viewers. I don't know.
Who knows? They might enjoy. It might be our most watched podcast.
It might be
ever.
Yeah, we might need to consider this.
We might have to get to bowl season. Anything can happen.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about bowls. We're going to talk about. A little bit about Bedlam, though we covered a lot of it in our post-game podcast, as always. Take you behind the scenes at a really busy day talking to players today. Six guys after practice. And I'm not even sure. It's been such a scramble since we finished and came over here. Did we make it to all six?
I made it to three.
I made it to three. So hopefully it was different three.
Yes.
And we all aligned. I think so. I think we did. I think we got all six.
I never saw you in the same group I was in.
Right. Exactly.
So,
yeah. So I think we made it to all six. We'll get into behind the scenes and chat with you about what the players had to say today, which was a variety of things. We were all over the place. It's very rare for us to get six players after a practice.
It's senior day on Saturday, right. So we got six seniors.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was senior day talk.
Right.
I'll be honest.
Yeah. A lot of that.
Because at this point, they know that it's just a bowl game left, so there's a lot of that talk.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get into all of that. Look ahead to West Virginia, which is a very interesting game. There's a lot of things that are confusing about this West Virginia team.
Yes.
The thing that I don't think is all that confusing is they're not great.
No.
But they have some numbers that suggest that they might be a little bit better than the record indicates. Anyway, we'll get into all of that. With that, we want to remind folks to subscribe to the Cowboy Sports Minute, the Oklahoman's newsletter for all things Oklahoma State athletics. Go check that out at oklahoman.com and enjoy all the stuff fed directly to you through your email. We already talked about putting score predictions in the comments. That's always something that I have to remind myself to get to at this point as I check my notes to make sure that I've gotten everything that I needed to get to. and I have. So let's jump in. Last thoughts on Bedlam. We'll start there.
Ooh, last thoughts on Bedlam. Glad that's over?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, we talked a lot about it the other day, and then I got lost in the parking lot talking about
right,
it. But
yeah.
I was thinking today when I was writing on some stuff for pregame and about Spencer Sanders and this. It's his senior day on Saturday.
Right.
We don't know if he's coming back next
season.
Still
has a COVID year.
He's got that year. But I thought about the last time he threw four interceptions against Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
You know he did the next game? He only led them back from a huge deficit against Notre Dame
right.
in the Fiesta Bowl and threw for almost 400 yards, four yeah. touchdowns, ran for 125,
mm-hmm.
put on a clinic.
Probably the best game of his career.
It has to be the best game
I
of his
so.
Career. Considering the opponent, considering the stage, considering what they did to come back and win the game. So what's he going to do on Saturday?
Right.
I mean, that may not pertain too much to Bedlam, but I just think of Spencer and how he played on Saturday and how he can rebound from that. And
right.
that's what stuck out in my mind.
Yeah. A couple of things on Spencer. The first one being it's so hard to really put in perspective the kind of day that he had because the four mm-hmm. interceptions are such a sore thumb. You know, obviously he has his history. Even though he hadn't had a double-digit or a multiple interception game all season.
Yeah, no, it was
until
what, five before that, right?
Right, yeah, so. All in five different games. So his taking care of the ball aspect of his game had really improved. We got a lot of fun dogs here.
Yeah, that's a good dog right there.
Really
that's
exciting.
A good doggy.
Right. So he had really improved on that aspect of his game over the course of the season. The four interceptions just kind of – there's some PTSD for fans.
Yes.
And probably for Spencer himself. So that's difficult. He threw the ball 67 times, a program record 67 times.
On a bum shoulder.
With a bad shoulder. He's hardly practiced at all. There were a very minimal number of throws that I thought, he kind of missed there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were a couple of deep throws that he overthrew some guys. Had some miscommunications with guys, one that led to an interception, some different things like that. But for the most part, I thought he held up well
mm-hmm.
with the throws.
And he got hit a bunch.
He was under pressure a ton. And that was, I think, really impactful in his decision-making, is you know, his ability to deliver the ball on time and on target. So It's just really hard to wrap your head around everything that he did and kind of try to understand, you know. I mean, this is still the most important guy on this team.
Yes. Hands down.
It's not close. And trying to make it all make sense is difficult, I think is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It was a very impressive and depressing day, I think, if you're an Oklahoma State fan. And it's,
yeah.
And those two things just don't go together. They don't mesh. So
you talk about Spencer and Jenny Carlson, our colleague and friend, asked this of Gundy yesterday, what his legacy is.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, was a fighter, I think is what he said,
mm-hmm.
right? What is your legacy? What do you think his legacy is in your mind?
Tough MF-er.
Tough MF-er,
I mean, that's,
yeah.
That's the thing that stands out more than anything when you look at, you know, the offensive line has not been great during most of his career. He fought back from the turnover issues that he had early in his career that were devastating. A lot of guys don't dig out of that hole. Mm-hmm. When you go and turn the ball over five times and your team loses by 10 points, you know, as a freshman, not everybody recovers that from that from a confidence standpoint. He did. I shouldn't even say recovers. I don't know that he ever wavered from a confidence yeah. perspective, because that's how he is. So mentally, physically, he is just a tough dude. And, you know, yes, he's going to go down as the career leader in interceptions at Oklahoma State, but he's going to lead in a lot of other
yeah.
really meaningful
positive.
Or be
top three.
Yeah, in a lot of meaningful positive categories. And, you know, he's always going to be a polarizing guy in terms of how fans view him. Though I think the detractors are a lot smaller. They're just really vocal.
Yeah.
I think that group has really dwindled
yeah.
over the last two seasons. They're just really vocal,
yeah.
particularly on Twitter, which yeah. is sort of where they can exist.
Yeah, that's a whole different topic.
I think there is a really large portion of the fan base that loves this guy for his toughness and his leadership. And we'll see what happens if he comes back next year and wants to be a fifth-year starter. I look around the NFL and see some guys that are third-teamers right now and say, yeah, Spencer might be better than that guy.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible that he wants to go and take a shot and go be a third-team guy and try to work his way up
yeah.
and become a guy in the NFL. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. The other thing I did want to bring up about Spencer, this is not, I don't think, newsworthy, but one person brought it up, so we'll go ahead and discuss it.
Oh yeah,
there was a video of Sanders getting very heated on the sidelines after they had a delay of game on a fourth down.
Yeah, forced him into a punting situation.
I sort of feel like they weren't going to run a play in that situation. I think they were trying to draw him off sides. Mm-hmm. It was 4th and 9. I think you get to 4th and 4, maybe you go for it. If not, you punt, and that's what they obviously did. They end up punting. He comes off the field very heated and appears to tap a guy on the headset as he's, vocalizing his displeasure. I heard from literally one person.
Yes, that's all I've heard.
I didn't know this video existed until today.
Yes, that's exactly.
Heard from one person, yeah. So I'm not saying this is the
same person. We both heard from the same person, yeah. And I did not know it existed either.
No. I watched the video multiple times. I don't see the concern. I don't see it being a newsworthy item.
No.
So I feel bad that we're talking about it.
It's fair.
Yeah. So, but that said, that's who Spencer Sanders is.
Yes.
He is that guy that wants to win as much as anybody on the field.
Yeah.
At all times.
That's what I was going to say. His legacy to me is how competitive he is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and it goes with
fair.
The toughness.
Right.
It goes with toughness because he's just – nothing's gone necessarily easy for him his entire
right.
career.
Yeah.
And he's found a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
OSU still wins games.
Right.
And he's a huge reason why. And so I think that's what stands out to me in his legacy.
Right. Somebody was asking me some questions the other day about the offense in general. And I started thinking about how different this season looks – if Sanders doesn't have the shoulder issue.
And it gets really interesting.
It absolutely does. You know, I think, you know, TCU was the first one. You and I talked about it in the press box on that day that it seemed like he was losing some zip late in that
yep.
game. They make a couple of plays. It never gets to overtime. They win
yep.
that game. If he's healthy, I don't think Gundy panics about the health of the team. I think it changes the week
yep.
of preparation for Kansas State. I'm not saying they go and win that game. It could
yeah.
I mean, it's hard to – it's when somebody loses 48-0 and gets
right.
completely owned, it's hard to say, oh, they would have won that game if
right,
Spencer Sanders
yeah.
had been healthy. But it changes the week leading up to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at
Garrett Rangel doesn't start at Kansas.
Yeah, then you got Spencer at Kansas. I think they win that game.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was they would have had to score some points because the defense was dealing with some other issues that day. But I think they're capable of going and winning that game.
Yeah.
And Bedlam, they had all the momentum for the last three quarters. They just couldn't finish. And, I don't know how much his health impacted things. But it certainly could have been a situation where they were in a better position to go win that game.
Yeah.
It changes the entire scope of the season if you think about him staying healthy. So, and that's another thing that his detractors are going to point at. The two negatives over his career, turnovers and injuries.
Right.
And he has, I think, overcome both pretty impressively.
This injury was a result of getting hit too much in the backfield. It wasn't him running. It was protection.
Exactly.
So I think that's not his fault.
Right.
So
no.
You
feel bad for him that he's had to deal with this the way that he has over this season. And obviously the toughness that I talk about has really shown in these moments as he's gone through, weeks of not practicing or hardly practicing, coming off the bench at Iowa State. Just some really incredible things that he's accomplished in his career, despite all the roadblocks that he's had to deal with. So, all right. look ahead to West Virginia. Anything else about Bedlam?
No, I think we covered it. Talk about Spencer was the key there, I think. I mean,
right.
But yeah, on to West Virginia.
This team averages, well, first of all, so I went to look up some of their stats.
Mm-hmm.
Ninth in the league in scoring.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's kind of crappy. But they're still averaging 31 a game. They're still top 50 nationally in scoring.
Yeah.
They just happen to be number 9 in the Big 12.
That's the Big 12 for you.
Right, exactly. That's what you're dealing with in this conference. So they're not inept. This is not the Iowa State offense that's coming to town this week. But it's still not a great offense. It's not an offense that necessarily scares you a bunch.
Right.
But they're capable of putting up some points. Defense, they're not great against the pass, a little bit better against the run. But at the same time, it's hard to know exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at some of their games, and they've done really well. I mean, they gave up over 200 rushing yards to Eric Gray, but only gave up 20 points to beat OU. So they're all over the place.
They are. And from what I heard today, it sounds like Neil Brown's kind of accepted a fate for him.
Right.
From what I've heard from the way he talked today, I didn't see it or hear it, but some people were telling me that he kind of talked like he's accepted this fate for after Saturday.
Yeah.
So,
which is, listen, with the way things are trending, with getting rid of coaches earlier now, there's something to be said for West Virginia playing this out to the end. Because, what was it, we were 3-4 weeks into the season, and coaches were getting canned already.
And we thought Neil Brown was going to be done then.
Right. He was at the top of the list among Big 12 teams that were – or Big 12 coaches that were on the chopping block. Felt like that was going to be the direction that they went. And so, I still yet to be seen how much it benefits you to make that move early right now. Obviously, signing day is 4 weeks away, something 4.5 weeks away right now. So
it hasn't, I don't feel like it's benefited these teams too much. No one's hired any coaches.
Right, exactly. This isn't like last year.
Yeah.
When teams were actually making hires.
Yeah, no one's hired any coaches, right? Auburn, Nebraska, they're all still looking for coaches. So what is this? What do they accomplish other than spending more money for a buyout maybe or something? I don't get it. Anyways, that's a whole different podcast, I think.
Right,
but
exactly.
This West Virginia team, I don't know. I don't get it. They're really good on fourth down.
They are. They're incredibly good on fourth down.
70%. It's insane.
It is nuts.
But OSU's 50-50 on fourth down defensively, which I thought was – about an interesting stat. You've got a 50-50 chance against them, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're 27% conversion on third down.
Right. Still one of the best teams in
number
the country.
Number 9 in the country.
And if you
– I think maybe higher.
Back, they might be this
week. 4. I think 9 for West Virginia's fourth down, 4 for OSU's third down. I think
and if you go back over the last 3 years, they're going to be, I think, probably even higher than that over with what they've done. Because you go back to Jim Knowles next to last year, that was one of the first things that they started doing really well. I think that was the year they actually led the country in third down. They were really good last year, been really good this year, which has been a fascinating thing to see with some of the other struggles that they've had.
Yeah.
They've maintained that ability to get off the field in those situations, or at least get to fourth down, and then it's a coin flip for the offense. But that's been impressive for them to maintain that despite the other struggles that they're facing. Because obviously the previous two years, the defensive front, their ability to rush the passer was a big impact on that, and that's been a little bit minimized this year. But they've still been able to force those failed third downs. Pretty interesting. I got sidetracked thinking about the pass rush, and so I guess we'll go into to talk about what players had to say today.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
I visited with Ben Kapinski.
Yeah,
he's a guy who was Tyler Lacy was one of the guys moving inside, particularly on third down pass rush situations. Now they're using Nathan Latu and Ben Kapinski in those situations. Very different thing for him. He did point out he played nose guard in high school, so it's not completely new to him.
Yeah.
But it's a lot different type of guy on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a completely new feeling, just a lot bigger challenge. He's enjoying that challenge and appreciating the opportunity. Latu is a guy who has stepped up well in that scenario, not only there, but just in helping fill the void of Tyler Lacy.
Yeah.
He and Cody Walterscheid have been really solid. In that they're not Tyler Lacy, and nobody is expecting them to be, but they're holding up really well. I think that's one of the things that gives Oklahoma State a chance this week is I think that they can find a way, like they did against Iowa State, to get back to pressuring the quarterback again. I think that's a really important factor in this game as they go forward. So, who were the three that you got to talk to?
I started with Braden Cassidy.
Right.
Hulk Hogan, as I call him.
Right.
He looks like
he's got it.
He's got Hulkamania in his blood.
You bleach that, it's big time scary.
Yes. He's got the handlebar mustache thing going on. He even took his shirt off for a while and did some interviews, and I was like, man, you are going full Hulk Hogan. If he'd have ripped his jersey off, I would have just totally been like, oh man, all right. What you gonna do, you know? Like
you ask a question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that'd have been great, you know. And he was good. We talked senior day a little bit, it's creeping up on him, he's kinda surprised, and he has not decided if he's gonna take his super senior season yet.
Right.
He said he would like to, but he has not made that final decision. So maybe some other things are factoring into that. But then talk to me about how the Cowboy backs were used Saturday, and they got receptions. He had a couple.
Right.
Rashad Owens had a couple. Quentin Stewart had his first career catch for a touchdown. And funny enough, Brayden said that someone got a photo of them with Schultz, Cassidy, and Stewart all celebrating in the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
And he's going to frame it and put it on his wall. He's like, it's going to be on the wall forever.
Oh, that's
awesome. It's one of the coolest moments. Him getting his first catch, first touchdown.
Right.
All that. He said it was just really cool, special, but they felt really a lot of pride. They got used and utilized so much in that game.
Yeah. And it feels like a little bit of a broken record to step up here and say this team has failed with their tight ends in recent years.
Yes.
But I think it's also fair.
Yes.
As a Colts fan who is enjoying watching Jelani Woods catch touchdowns, that guy was underutilized at Oklahoma State.
He's still open.
He is. He absolutely is.
And there's also a time, I'm going to point out, there was a time earlier in Bedlam that I thought Spencer missed a throw to someone, or the play, or it's dropped, or something, or he maybe ran. I don't remember. Anyways, and I pointed out to you, I said, Rashad Owens, wide open on that play, and he did not look at Rashad's way.
Yeah.
That's the issue. They don't look at the tight ends.
And Owens has been kind of a mind-boggling piece of this, because he's obviously a receiver.
Yeah.
They moved to that position. You assumed strictly to have a better receiving threat, and they didn't throw to him.
No.
I mean, he's probably going on six games as a tight end. They hadn't looked his way until Saturday.
Yeah. They had guys running post routes that you would not think we'd be running post routes, and Rashad Owens blocking in the same game. And it was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But and that's a whole different topic. But yeah, Brayden was really happy with how things have turned out.
That's good. On the topic of COVID years, Ben Kapinski, also not positive. You know, we talked to him earlier this year.
He said he wasn't coming back.
He was done.
I wrote it in the story.
Exactly.
He's going to make me a liar.
Right? He has not made up his mind yet.
Benjamin Kapinski.
He is still up in the air.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, you know, you bring back a guy like that, and maybe he's not a 55 play a game type of guy.
No, but he's an important part of the game.
He's a guy that can make an impact. So. That would be important when you assume, well, you know, Brock Martin's gone, Brendan Evers already gone, Tyler Lacy most likely gone, I think, fairly certain. You can keep around a guy like that.
You don't know the health of Trace Ford,
right? Obviously, he's dealing with health issues, so you can keep around a guy like that that's got some experience and can do some different things that could be really valuable. So. Sione Yossi, another guy that's definitely gone off of this defensive line.
Yeah.
Defensive line is going to look a lot different next year.
Yeah, and I talked to Sione today.
You did. That's where I was.
I love talking to Sione. He's very excited over his last game.
He's so much fun.
He's
really
a blast.
I'm sad that I didn't make it over to
visit. Yeah, he's a blast. He talked about someone asked him what he wants to do next, even if he doesn't make the NFL. Like, what does Sione Yossi plan to do? He said, I don't know. I haven't found myself yet. And I thought, you're 26 with a wife and two kids. You haven't found yourself yet? All right.
Two kids, man.
So it's like, okay, cool. And but he said he wants to live in the Midwest. He just wants to say he wants to stay around here instead of going back to Nevada.
Interesting.
Or Utah. He said, you know, he's from Reno. His family's in Salt Lake City now.
Yeah.
But he said, I'd be too comfortable if I went back and lived by my immediate family. He said, I would just drop the kids off with them. I would be eating food with my mom's all the time. Too comfortable. So he's probably going to stay around here or Texas or something like that. Thought that was pretty interesting. He did say, he didn't think about this, so I brought it up. I said, what's it going to mean to have your wife and your two daughters on the field with you Saturday? He's like, I hadn't even thought about that. So that's going to mean a lot. Like, that's going to be really good. And it's going to be his youngest daughter's first game.
Oh,
and fun. So it's really cool. Like, I'm excited for Sione. He did say something. I didn't talk too much football with him. I walked up when he started talking some football. And he did say something interesting I hadn't quite heard before. And I don't know if you've heard this. He said, we're going to make mistakes, but we want to make new mistakes.
Oh, yeah, that's a Derek Mason line.
He said it was a Mason line.
Yes.
And I don't know that I've heard that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed it with Derek Mason this season.
Right.
But new mistakes. And is that strange?
It took me a minute the first time I heard it.
I'm still wrapping my head around the idea that you still want to make new mistakes.
Right.
Don't you want to make no mistakes?
You do. But then I think the aspect is, if you say you want to make no mistakes, you're chasing something that's impossible.
Okay. That's fair.
So you just don't want to make the same mistakes.
Yeah.
If you make the same mistakes, you're just a knucklehead.
Right.
And can't figure out not to.
And that's kind of what Sione said about that. But yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
But
so.
I think I'm just struggling to wrap my head around it.
Right.
So
it has to do with just accepting that you're not perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
So also, I like it myself.
Also, being not perfect, the guy just walked by in a Santa Cruz, California hoodie.
Ooh,
that's where we went in California this summer, not Monterey. No idea why I said Monterey. Santa Cruz is where we went. Long few weeks, everybody.
It's a good thing that guy walked by.
He did walk by. I've got to get that corrected now. I'm thinking about it.
Incorrect information floating around in the
ether. There is a Saison beer brewery there called Sarah's, and it's awesome.
Sarah's Saisons.
Yes.
Ooh.
Something like that.
That's fun to say.
Yeah.
All right. You also visited with Matt Hembro.
Matt Hembro. My first time visiting Matt Hembro.
You know, we've talked to Tom Hutton once earlier this year. Today was special teams day. We got Matt Hembro and Tanner Brown. I got to talk with Tanner. I'll share a little bit of that.
Two of the three national award semifinalists on this team.
That's exactly right.
They're both up for their respective positions award. And then Jason Taylor is a semifinalist for the Thorpe Award.
That's exactly right.
Which I'm curious if he'll get a finalist. He might.
I haven't looked at the numbers on those guys
yet. I haven't looked either, but he could. Just based on some things, but I don't have my hopes up either.
Right. I mean, obviously, five picks is really big.
Yeah. Bunch of tackles.
82 tackles, 83 tackles, something like that, in the 80s. Yeah, he's got a chance.
And but anyways, on Himbro, Tanner Brown, like, they need to be finalists. But anyways,
I'll break down. I'm voting on the Lou Groza.
Oh, that's right.
I haven't cast my vote yet, but I have studied.
Okay.
Everything.
Perfect. So. I have not studied these. I'm just saying from what I've seen.
Right.
And I don't know how to judge a long snapper, but apparently Matt Himbro's really, really damn good at his job.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm gonna just go with make him a finalist.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
But
listen, I've never seen a bad snap from him.
Exactly.
I cannot remember one.
I cannot remember one either. I don't think anyone around there can.
No.
But
and
he
that's
was
what that's what Tanner Brown pointed out, because I said, you've dealt with long snappers. He played at JUCO. He played at UNLV. Now 2 years at OSU. So what's different about this guy? He says consistency and his speed.
Yeah.
Said both are off the charts.
Huh.
Okay.
Himbro was a delight.
Seemed that way.
He was great. He talked about he's from a football family. His dad played college football. When you look at his profile, I didn't get all these details from him. He's had other people in his family play college football at big time levels. Some play one. I think one won a national championship in Miami. One, like, I think someone played in the NFL. He's had all these football connections. So he's like, I was gonna play football. So I played all these different positions. He said, and I was undersized, and I just started snapping the ball. And he said, I start realizing maybe this is what I could do to find a place. And he said, then I start growing, and I've already got this thing I can do really well.
Right.
And so he stuck with it. He's like, I take this incredibly seriously. This is my life.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about that and his dedication and just about how much he's enjoyed this too. And he talked about working with Tom Hutton as his holder and now Logan Ward and just all these changes. It was a lot of fun, really, like, for a guy that we don't ever really get to talk to and get to know. But he was a joy to talk to.
The most interesting thing that I learned about him tonight, and I don't know if this was brought up during your conversation with him because I only got to hear a little bit of it, but when I was talking to Tanner Brown about him, Tanner Brown is the backup holder.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
It was Tom Hutton and Logan Ward. Then when Tom got hurt, Logan Ward moved to first team, Tanner to second team. So he's now holding for Alex Hale when he kicks. Matt Himbro, a lefty. So the ball spins reverse to what he was used to.
I did not know that.
Right, exactly. Fascinating stuff. So he had to get used to the ball spinning the other way when he is catching to hold for Alex Hale's placement kicks.
It never in a million years probably would have crossed my mind to ask Himbro if he's right or left-handed and about the spin of the football.
No, never would have thought.
These are things that go way above my head.
Right? It's fascinating stuff.
That is mind-blowing. That's crazy.
It is. It is. A lot of fun.
So no wonder he and Tom got along so well.
Right, exactly.
They're both lefties. Everything's right in the world to them.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I really enjoy when we get the opportunities to talk to the specialists because, one, we don't get to do it very often.
Right.
And, two, they always have unique perspectives about things because they see the game differently.
Yes.
And, three, they just always seem to be interesting dudes. And I really enjoy getting to get to know them.
How was Tanner Brown?
I can't give you all the details about Tanner Brown. He was really good. I got a big story on Tanner Brown. I've spoken to his parents, spoken to him a couple of times now for this story that I'm
Friday's
working on.
Friday's edition, everybody.
That's right. Friday pregame. But a lot of fun. He talked about his journey here, which is just it's wild. He came out of high school, decided very late in his high school career that he wanted to be a kicker rather than a soccer player. He had played flag football 1 year when he was 5 years old, played soccer the rest of his life until his sophomore year. His soccer coach was also a football coach. Said, hey, why don't you come kick for the JV as his sophomore year. Starts kicking, falls in love. Gets to his senior year, everybody thought he was going to be a soccer player because he was really good. And in May, comes to his parents and say, I want to go play football. And they have a junior college nearby, College of the Canyons. He's from California, and goes there. Has two really good years. Gets a shot at UNLV. Goes there. Has some. He's able to punt and do kickoffs, but he was the best holder, and the other field goal kicker was pretty solid. So they went with him as the holder. So he didn't get to do kickoff. Didn't get to do field goals. The entire year at UNLV, gets it to the end of that year, decides it's not for him, moves home. He enrolls back taking some more classes at his junior college. He's working a real job. Also driving 2 hours three times a week down to Carlsbad, California to go kick at the John Carney facility. John Carney, the former NFL guy, has a facility in Carlsbad. He would go down there and kick. He was kicking with other guys that are NFL free agents, guys that the kicker at USC and another one that he mentioned that's another D1 guy that he was kicking with. He would go videotape himself on his phone, DM any, you know, special teams coach, head coach, whoever he could find on Twitter. MK Taylor gets one of these messages, said, "Hey, we need a kickoff guy. Would you be interested in coming?" And he comes here.
As a walk-on,
thinking he's going to be the kickoff guy. Yeah, Alex Hale just had a really good year, even though he had torn his ACL.
Yeah.
So there was no idea that he was going to need to be the field goal guy. But then it obviously worked out the way that it did. 36 of 41 since then.
He's really good.
Field goals. It's ridiculous.
He's really good.
Only missed once this year. And like you said, semifinalist for the Groza. I'll say this. I've narrowed it to six guys.
How many are on the semifinalists?
20.
20. Okay.
I've narrowed it to six. I gotta have it down to three.
Okay.
I think next Monday is my deadline. And Tanner Brown is among the six.
Okay.
There are two guys that I'm pretty well convinced have to be on my finalist list. So Tanner's not one of them. He's in the other four battling for that last spot. I don't know what I'm gonna do because you're literally. I've never had to, you know, to be this picky in looking at trying to decipher. You're like, all of a sudden, okay, the guy from Buffalo, he missed an extra point. Well, was it a bad snap? And I'm like, can I go on YouTube and find
this?
Buffalo to find out what happened on the missed extra point that he had?
Yeah. You
know, all these weird things. And Tanner's numbers stack up against just about everybody with the exception of two guys. The guy at Stanford, Joshua Cardi. He's 16 for 16 on the year, 12 of those over 40 yards.
Ooh, it's pretty
ridiculous. He made a 61-yarder.
Ooh.
And so right now he's penciled in as my number one guy right now.
Yeah.
NC State kicker, also very good. Very good from long, a lot of long-range kicks as well, which is, you know, that's part of this is just opportunity.
Yeah.
Tanner's only been asked to kick one kick over 50 yards.
That's true.
It was in the most – difficult situation maybe of the season for a field goal in overtime at TCU.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was, like, forgetting. I was like, where? I know this one, but yes.
He hits it from 52. He's perfect on PATs. You know, he has one miss, and it was over 40 yards. Perfect on everything else. So his numbers are right there, and I'm looking forward to.
What was the circumstances there? There was a circumstance, I feel like, in the miss he had. Wasn't it a bad situation?
I don't remember there being anything
Maybe I'm thinking that up in my head, but I feel like there was something there.
Yeah, I don't remember anything unique about it.
Yeah, okay. It's been a long season.
Yeah, it has. It has. But 19 of 20 is really, really impressive. Like I said, he hit his only – the only time he was asked to go beyond 50, he hit it. And in the most clutch situation. So he's right there.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to figure out a way to narrow those last four down to one and decide who I'm going to.
I guess you got
to
wait on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. I am waiting on Saturday.
That's the way you got to do there. And you talked to Braden Johnson as well.
I did. A lot of fun. I always enjoy Braden because he has become a very deep thinker.
Okay.
He wasn't always that way early in his career. He's always good to talk to. But his missing last season has changed his perspective on football and life in a lot of ways, and he's very appreciative of opportunities that he's granted, and he understands, you know, what he has been given, getting this extra year and getting to come back, and you know, now to have a chance and maybe go try to make an NFL roster somewhere. You know, he got asked when football is all done, wherever that ends. What's next? So he's very much into music, and he loves traveling. So he's trying to find a way to blend those two passions together.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact context that he used this phrase, but he's very important to him to spread the love. Yeah. So that's going to be a focus of whatever is next for Braden.
Interesting. Johnson. Okay.
So,
Well, that's good.
It was really impressive to see him last week come back and have the
Yeah, he had a great game.
It felt like he might have kind of disappeared on this team. Obviously, been injured. That's why he wasn't front of mind. But he had a really big week last week when they really needed him. Now Jaden Bray is injured.
Again.
Same injury he's been dealing with. Going to be out for the season. He tried to kind of fight through, and obviously didn't work out. But fortunately for him, he's got that redshirt year available.
Yeah.
So he comes back next year as a sophomore. But that thins out an already thin outside receiver group. Stephon Johnson Jr. didn't play last week.
Hurt.
We haven't seen Talon Shetron in a few weeks, which I don't know if that's injury related. Nobody has said.
He got popped in the head. We're pretty sure it might have been
Texas,
a concussion.
Texas,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, they've been asking a lot more of guys like Langston Anderson. Guys like that are going to be important, I think, this week. Langston could see a lot of snaps, I think, this week. So, big week for him. I talked to Braden about that, and, he's been really impressed with the way that Langston has fought back from injuries. So, obviously, a really, really cool story for Langston Anderson. So, all right. Is that everybody? Yeah, I think
that's everybody. Everybody. We got all through
right.
it.
All right.
We skipped this last week, so we got to do everybody.
Yeah. All right. I do believe it's time for the Stone Cloud Six
Pack. The Stone Cloud Six Pack, everybody. Here we go.
This has become like the crown jewel of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like a rare gem.
I kind of knew it would.
I don't want to say it's a diamond, but maybe a sapphire.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It's kind of in that range. Let's start with the – oh, wait. We got it really quick. We forgot football. Bowl stuff. Give me Liberty or give me Cheez-Its, which is obviously it was just a joke when I made it up.
But it might be reality.
It really feels kind of realistic this week.
Yeah.
I think the Alamo Bowl still in the mix. I was surprised. I didn't think it was as much in the mix until I went and looked at all the national prognostications.
Still in the mix.
A lot of national people think that OSU ends up at the Alamo Bowl. And I think a big part of that is the fact that Texas has been there two of the last 3 years.
Yes.
And, if you look at where things are most likely going to end in terms of standings, Texas is going to be above OSU. But if the Alamo Bowl doesn't really want to bring them back for the third time in 4 years, maybe they skip them.
But why wouldn't they?
Well, no, it makes
sense. You know how much of a draw they can have? I mean, they're right down the road from Austin.
Yeah.
So.
And Texas, even if some of their fans are frustrated, they're still going to travel.
Yeah.
So over to San Antonio for.
I think the Cheez-It Bowl.
That's where I'm leaning.
Yeah,
that's where I really think this team falls.
Because I don't think the Liberty is going to pass up the idea of Texas against a Pac-12 team. Or not the Liberty. Sorry, the Alamo.
Okay, yeah, I got lost there.
Alamo.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Whatever. Liberty or Cheez-Its is what I'm thinking. But Alamo Bowl. I don't think they're going to pass up Texas against.
Yeah.
A Pac-12 team.
And the weird thing is if OSU doesn't land at one of those two bowls, that's where I think the Liberty Bowl comes into play.
Yeah.
Because I think if given the opportunity, I think the Texas Bowl would really like to grab OU.
Yeah.
And so I think they might skip down the standings to get OU because they've never had them before.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Alamo Bowl just had them.
Liberty's never had them either, though.
But the Texas Bowl's got the first pick.
That's true. That's
so
true.
So they would get the opportunity there. And then that's when Oklahoma State, I think, lands in Memphis at the Liberty Bowl. So, all right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and crack the top on the Stone Cloud six-pack. The first three, of course, are football-related. Over or under 24.5 receiving yards for John Paul Richardson. And I'll tell you why I came up with 24.5.
See, I didn't do my homework again. Right, so here
course.
We go.
Yeah. I knew this. I texted to you last night and said, for you to ignore.
Yeah, yeah. And I sent you a nice gif of ignoring it.
Yes, you did. 24.5, the reason that's important, he is at 475 receiving yards for the season. So
And he's going to 500.
25 will get him to 500. They'll give him four guys over 500 yards receiving this season.
I think he gets it.
Pretty impressive.
I think he gets it.
I think so, too. He's averaging a little over 40 a game.
I think he gets it. And I think he's going to have one of those long runs after a catch.
Ooh, yeah. That'd be fun.
So
I like that.
He might get it on one play.
Yeah. Come on through, sir. You're good. I think it's definitely possible that he gets there. sorry.
Scott's being really polite here.
Moving on. Moving on. Over or under 50% on fourth down for West Virginia. As we talked about, they are at a 70% clip converting. OSU giving up half of their conversions, 14 of 28.
Under.
Going under?
We're going under.
I think the Cowboy defense
steps up. It's their last home game this season.
Right.
A lot of seniors on that group.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be really motivated.
Yeah.
And to preview my prediction in the paper, I mean, I picked OSU, but my prediction for the headline that we always pick has to do with Brock Martin. So I think Brock Martin's going to have a big impact in this game.
Yeah, I can see that. He seems like a guy that I'm not saying that he's ever lacking motivation, but I can see him being a little bit emotionally charged.
Yeah, and I think he's going to body slam someone maybe. He might go predator style and hold someone's head up after a sack.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, right. I mean, it's Brock Martin. He's
quick
an animal.
Quick side tangent here. Where does the scare sack at Baylor rank among your favorite moments of the season?
It's got to be pretty high. It's really high. The best
part. For the people that don't remember,
at
Baylor, he's in position to get a sack.
It's the fourth quarter.
And
Blake Shapen
just crumbles.
Just falls to the ground. And Brock literally was furious about this.
Yeah.
He stood over him, and I know he said some stuff to him that is not repeatable for a family podcast.
Exactly.
So that is high ranking in my moments this season, because I got to ask Brock about it later, and it made me laugh. And so that's, and I called it the scare sack at the time. I was like, he just scared him into a sack.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. Like he literally just saw Brock Martin and he made a business decision.
Yeah. He absolutely did.
He just was like, oh, I'm good. Brock's going to kill me. And Brock really wanted to kill him. So
yes, he did
before and after.
Yeah. Yeah. He was still angry after
that. Yeah.
All right, last one of the football questions. Over or under 2.5 field goals for Tanner Brown? He's been averaging 1.9 a game. Random stats that I know because I'm voting for the Lou Groza Award.
Over.
I'm going over as well.
I think they're going to score a lot this week, but I think they're going to move the ball well and get him in position too. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be a bunch of touchdowns. I think they're just going to get in position to score a lot.
I'm predicting 30 points.
Yeah.
On Saturday, which is three touchdowns.
I think I did 34-24, maybe?
Yeah. So you're actually predicting two field goals, but that's okay.
Maybe. There's a way to get to that.
You get to 34 with multiple field goals.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to the non-football half of the Stone Cloud six-pack. I promise I'd had this typed in before the conversation came up with Mike Gundy yesterday.
Right, yeah.
Because I knew
we talked about this
the
before.
Conversation was going to come up. The draft today, Thanksgiving side dishes. Like I said, this has been a topic. There's always a new guy in the media. Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving is
still Thanksgiving, here. Everybody. Exactly. We're going to move that little Christmas tree.
Move the Christmas tree to the back. Every year, something Thanksgiving related comes up from somebody who's never asked it before, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's all good. But you know what Mike Gundy's answer is going to be, and that's going to be to talk about side dishes. Not a ham or turkey guy. Are you ham or turkey?
I'm a more ham, but I like dark meat on the turkey.
Okay.
Give me the dark meat more than anything, but I will eat all of it.
Yeah.
I'm not that picky.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of ham in any form.
Okay.
As long as the
turkey's not dry.
Yeah. There's ways around that. I can survive.
Yeah, I can throw some gravy on it.
But that said, I still fall more in the Mike Gundy camp.
I do too.
Just give me the sides. The sides.
Yes. So load me up on the sides.
With that, let's begin the draft. Whose turn is it to go first?
I have no idea.
And then I'm going first.
All right, go for it.
And I am. Now Mike Gundy mentioned several casseroles yesterday.
You're right, okay.
I don't know if he mentioned this one or not. I would have to go back to the tape to find out for sure.
You're going to take mine, aren't you?
Corn casserole?
Nope.
Okay
good.
Whew. All right.
I was getting nervous.
So I'm going corn casserole. Got some cream corn in there. Got to have some cheese on it. Fantastic stuff. Got some cornbread mixed in as well. Can be really good. I'm a big fan of corn casserole.
That's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I had a lot of corn casserole. I've had my sister-in-law makes a really good corn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what all is in it, but it's really good. My number one pick, my wife's, it's really grown on me. Really, my favorite thing she makes Thanksgiving, her broccoli cheese casserole.
Ooh, that's strong.
And it's fantastic. When I called her earlier today, she was making it. already. It's Cheese Whiz, fresh broccoli, mushrooms, onions cooked, all this stuff. It's so, so good. She makes it for both my mom's and her family's. So I get it twice on Thanksgiving.
Ooh, that's big.
And then leftovers.
Right.
It's fantastic. And I knew this was coming, and I told her, I said, I'm going to pick this. And it's not a Homer pick. It's not just because she makes it. I legitimately love this dish.
Yeah. Now, so now is your family, so like you're at the end of the day, it's time to start divvying up the leftovers. Mm-hmm. Is your family, everybody getting a plate?
And
so you're kind of keeping an eye on then the broccoli cheese.
I am a little bit, yeah. And like we'll take the dish home. So I'm like, just leave whatever is left in there, and we'll just take the dish.
Yeah,
you know, and stuff. But yeah, there's we get little gallon bags, and we start divvying up stuff.
Right.
And that's one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my number two pick. I'm going very plain here, but I'm a big fan of stuffing.
Okay.
I was debating that.
My mom's stuffing's fantastic.
And now I can get a little bit picky about it at times. It needs to be done well, but I've been lucky throughout my family that it's always done well. And so I am a huge fan of stuffing.
Okay. Is anyone going to pick green bean casserole on this? Because I'm not. I like green bean casserole, but I'm not going to pick it. Eddie Radosovich might come after us.
He might. That's possible. I'm not saying I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's fine. But I'm just saying.
I'm not touching creamy casserole.
But I'm not either. It's fine. I'll eat it. It's fine.
I'm not eating it. I do not.
Oh, really? Okay.
Green beans. I got a weird thing with green beans.
That's fair.
Can't do green beans.
That's fair. It's going to be very, very basic here. Actually, you know what? No, I'm not doing that. It's too easy to pick mashed potatoes and gravy.
Is it? I mean, you don't have to because it might be on my list.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I'm picking mashed potatoes and gravy. I'm picking it. Okay.
Yeah.
I was debating something else, but I'm still not going to pick the other thing. I'm mashed potatoes and gravy. I know you can have that year round with all kinds of things, but you just put it on there in Thanksgiving setting, and then the gravy starts bleeding into everything else. Mm-hmm. You start mixing some things. It's just the perfect side dish because you can scoop it up and you've got broccoli cheese a little bit and some mashed potatoes and gravy or some turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy or ham. It's all in one bite. It's the bulk of the side dishes to me.
It's the glue.
Yes.
It's the glue guy.
Yes.
It holds it all together.
That's
it
the glue guy. Is. Absolutely. You're right.
Because like if you don't have corn casserole, you just got regular corn. You get some of that in there.
Exactly. Back. Yes.
Can't beat it.
Yes.
It's absolutely probably if we just did a straight food draft, it might make my top three.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's big time. The versatility is magnificent. All right. Well, I should have talked you off the ledge and told you not to pick it because I was going to make it my third pick. But with that said, I'm going to go a little bit more off the board, and this is a little bit more of a specialty that we get with my family. Hash brown casserole.
Oh, I love a hash brown casserole. Yeah. That's good.
It's big time good. You get I don't know how they do it in your family, but my family does cornflakes.
Yeah, I've had that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Big time good. You get that mixed in with the cheese and the hash brown bits. Fantastic. Absolutely. It probably should have been my number 2 pick, honestly. That and corn casserole are the two things that I'm looking for immediately as soon as we get plates and head for the line. So,
well, I actually saved what probably would have been my normal number one pick my entire life.
Ooh, yeah.
For my third pick because I knew it was going to be
a little bit of drama. I like it.
Cranberry sauce.
Oh.
And I'm not going that homemade garbage.
Uh-huh, right.
Give me straight out of the can.
Out of the can.
Ocean
still got
spray.
The lines
it's
on the
still
side
got the lines on it. You cut it funky. Just give it to me that way.
All right.
It's the best. I've loved it since I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And if I don't get that at least one time on Thanksgiving, it's not Thanksgiving to me. Mm-hmm. I've got to have that cranberry sauce.
Right.
So that's my third pick because
I can't complain.
I love that thing. And my wife makes fun of me. She's like, it's really just nothing and not that good. I'm like, I don't care. I love it. Right. My mom usually sends me home with whatever's left of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like it's like divvy that up. No, I just get it all.
Right.
And I eat it all, too. I don't hesitate. I'll eat it just as a little snack after Thanksgiving. It's the only time of the year I eat it.
Right.
I love the stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's cranberry sauce is my third pick.
No complaints. No complaints there. Yeah. I remember the first time I saw it out of the can.
Yeah.
I was very confused. My grandma had already cut it up before we got there.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, laid it out on this plate.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All the little circular slices.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what in the world is that?
Yeah. I remember the first time I had it when it wasn't out of the can.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what are we doing? This is stupid. This is not good. Mm-hmm. This is not what I want. And now I've had some that I'm like, okay, this is fine, but I'm still going to go over here and get the can.
Right.
So I'm sticking with that. I also debated deviled eggs.
I respect the appreciation that people have for them. I'm not a fan.
Really, I love them. If they're really good, I love deviled eggs. That was my debate over mashed potatoes and gravy. I was like, ooh, but yeah, I'm glad I chose what I did.
Yeah. Do you have any family within your family bubble that goes alternative for either Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner?
Well, so a lot of times we're not doing it this year for Ashley's family, but my wife's family. A lot of times. We'll have turkey and we'll have some ham, but prime rib.
Ooh, hey.
Usually too.
I'm not going to complain about that.
And it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is so good. So that's usually the alternative. This year we're doing some alternative too with her family. I have no idea what's on the menu yet. I'm excited to find out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's prime rib. We're not doing as much family this year, but usually it's prime rib. We'll have that at Christmas too.
Yeah. Back before my grandma passed away, the last probably 10 years or so, of her life, from she passed away when she was 80, so like 70 to 80, she got she enjoyed the traditional Thanksgiving dinner, but she didn't want to do it for Christmas too.
Right, we don't do it at Christmas with my mom's.
Yeah, so she went straight Mexican food for Christmas dinner, and it was a lot of fun.
We do that a lot for like Ashley's family Christmas, like her immediate family.
Yeah,
we'll do Mexican food a lot, or my mom's will do pizza.
Ooh.
My mom would do like a homemade pizza, and her homemade pizza is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Or her homemade spaghetti meatballs, which is like a family recipe that's incredibly good. So we'll do that usually a lot too.
All right. Good deal. Well, now that the draft is over, I'm moving the Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. I guess we can go back to Christmas time.
Yeah. So
I'm just not ready till after Thanksgiving. Just not there.
It's understandable. Understandable. So I'm assuming no Christmas tree up in the Unruh
house. No, everything's still in the storage unit.
Yeah. Understandable. No, can't. Can't argue with
it. And Cohen's going to destroy it, so I'm really not in that big of a hurry.
Right, yeah. You only got so much so much time with the shelf life of the tree once you get it up and with a two-year-old in the house. So that's understandable. All right. Well, with that, I think it's time to wrap this thing up. This thing
has been going a long time.
Almost an hour.
Well, that's what happens when you don't put us on camera last week.
That's exactly right. We're making up for it's a double episode for all the people that missed last week. So we appreciate any of you that are still listening at this point. Thank you very much. We appreciate the folks back at the office for putting it together and getting it out on YouTube. Hopefully the technical difficulties are all sewn up and we're able to actually get this out there for you. Remember to drop your score comments in the score predictions in the comments that I mess up every week. and whenever we get back around here, we'll drink a free beer for you.
Yeah.
So with that, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And thank you for listening to the Cowboy Chronicles.